On Tuesday, July 2nd, I'm here with Minda's back from her.
I'm back.
Big from your big day.
Yeah.
And Mike Cintron's here.
I'm back again. Not a big day, but I'm here.
Dougie Show. I'm Dougie Almeida. It's Tuesday, July 2nd here at Danger Studios in Coral Springs, Florida. I'm joined by Minda Long.
Oh, wow. We're going with last names now? Just Minda. Minda's fine. Nobody knows any other Mindas.
Well, you know, Minda Long has a good name.
It is a good solid name, but like people don't need to know my name.
Your first podcast as a married woman.
It feels the same as the last one.
Show that ring. Oh. Show it.
It's been engaged.
Into the camera. They got to see it.
Yeah. They don't care.
They do care. There's gemologists out there.
These biatches don't care.
There's some gemologists.
Make them jealous.
There.
I don't care.
And Mike Cintron's here.
How you doing, everybody?
And welcome to the show. I am happy to announce, this being your first time as a married woman on the podcast, any ever podcast.
Yeah.
This is the first time I'm doing a podcast as someone who advanced to the semis at Florida's Funniest.
Okay.
I've never advanced to the semis.
Oh, is this the first time? And,
yeah.
And how many times have you competed now in this competition?
I don't think that's important.
Okay. Next question. Are you feeling proud of this win? This advancement. It's not a win. We're going into the semi, but
yeah.
I mean, out of huge groups of people, 20 people or whatever on a show,
it was like 18 comics.
You were one of a few.
Right. Four went through. Me, Cam Bertrand.
Mm-hmm.
Jay Guy.
Oh, excellent.
Had a great set.
All good choices.
Really funny, and a new guy with a guitar who I thought I was going to have to follow with the guitar.
Oh no. And that makes it weird all the time.
So is this the one where we go, you know, contests are not rigged. They're you know, the right comics usually do win.
I said it when I didn't. I was in the one in Miami. I didn't advance.
Yeah.
And I didn't.
Oh,
think
another
I
Florida's Funniest one?
Yeah,
or okay. I didn't
Florida's
know if there was like ultimate
in
Miami.
That's true. You didn't,
or
you didn't get mad about that one.
Yeah. I was like, you know, I know I didn't.
You were cool with it.
I didn't think I was happy with not getting. You know, I didn't think I had a good set.
That's fair.
I think, but definitely this one, I think they got it right. I mean,
they got it right.
There was a couple.
They got it right.
I think
America got it right.
There was
shocking.
Now here's why. The only reason I'm going to say that is because, and
I think it's because you advanced.
Loyal,
even new guy with a guitar.
No,
they got it right.
I'm not going to be self-serving here. I deserve. If anything, I should be going advanced. You know, at this point, I should.
Yeah, you definitely deserve to advance.
I should. No, not deserve. I should.
You should.
Meaning, I'm a long time. I'm a comic, a professional comic. I should be able to put together four fucking minutes, which is the main point of this conversation.
Okay, so you did. You put together your five, and you crushed.
I don't. Well, listen, somebody else can say it. I know that one of our regular listeners and local
Carlos Acuella.
Yeah, he was there. He was there. And I think I had a good set. And here's the thing: 4 minutes, whatever it is, 4 minutes. The importance of putting together a good four-minute set.
Yeah.
Do you think there were comics that night that should have gotten through that did not get through?
No, I think, I'll be honest with you, and I was told by Renee, in a sense, but she said you had the top score. No one, nice. they didn't have four. And I know Cam had a great set. Cam, very funny comic out of Tampa. He had a great set. the guy who played the guitar at Crush with his song about why his dog likes him better than his ex. You know?
All right. And, that's and then, original.
I know Bob Lurer, yeah. who's from
There's
Jacksonville.
There's no country songs that sound like that.
Yeah. This guy Bob from Jacksonville, he tours with the lady down there with Grandma Lee.
Grandma Lee.
Bob
Grandma
Lurer, he tours with her. He opens for her. He had a good set, a strong
yeah.
set.
Yeah.
But he could have been in. He could easily been in the top four.
Well, you know,
I remember.
Just some of the young bucks that I hang out with at my open mics. You know, some of them were a little disappointed.
Really?
You know, but
that
I
they
try
didn't
to tell
get
them,
through.
I tell them all the time. You know, this is not, don't let the contest define you. You define your career and you move on and just keep going.
Yeah. Listen, I've been doing it a long time and never went through in a bunch of them. You know what I mean?
Yeah, and so wait, you were saying you did one in Miami, so you didn't just do it a bunch of years in a row. You did it a bunch of times this year.
I wouldn't consider two a bunch, would you?
No, two is not a bunch. Hold on.
All right, so easy there.
No, you're right. Two is not a bunch.
You're jumping into the fucking ring like you're going to hit somebody, and then you're, oh, wait a minute, I'm sorry.
Yeah, no, I didn't know it was only two. I did notice there was quite a bit of comedians
a bunch.
Who signed
Holy
up.
Cow. There was a plethora.
Hold on.
So four out of the five you lost, but you got through one?
That's all that matters.
Like World Series of Comedy.
Yeah.
So, but this is my point. I did notice that a lot of people did not just one or two, but multiple
entered into a couple
rounds.
Yeah.
And so I wasn't sure if you were one of those or if it was just one or two. I'm a little out of the loop.
Well, you got to play the game, you know.
And the way I look at that whole way I look at that contest, any local contest like that, is if I'm in town, I'll do it. Now, interestingly
yes.
enough. I am not going to be here for the semifinals.
Oh, my goodness. So what are you going to do for that?
Well, we're trying to see if we can swap somebody from the West Coast semifinals, which is on July 28th.
Okay.
And which I got to find out because I'm actually going to be flying home from Tucson, Arizona that day.
Why don't you give me your jokes and I'll be you?
Yeah. Yeah, we'll have Mike do my act.
All right. So hold on. So you're coming back from a gig?
Yeah.
Okay, so
I'm out of town during the semis for the East
yeah,
Coast, whatever
so
it is.
So if you can't find someone to swap,
that's it.
Are you're going to go to the gig, right?
Yeah, I can't.
You can't cancel a gig.
Because it's a 2-week run.
Can
that's
they just
what I'm
add
in Seattle.
You to the West Coast one,
well,
even if nobody swaps.
I'm hoping that might happen.
Maybe you could just be added.
You mean how much time do they do in the semis?
I have no idea.
But you're going to love this, Miss Southwest, because I guess what? Well, on my flight, I'm going to be in last at Tucson, Arizona, with my buddy Joey Medina.
Okay.
Whatever that is, the 26th, 27th.
Nice.
And Tucson, Arizona, open for him
all
at last.
Right. You taking Southwest?
Flying Southwest to Phoenix, because you fly into Tucson, it's fucking ridiculous.
Yeah.
So I fly into Phoenix, going to rent a car, right?
Mm-hmm.
Or my buddy Danny's going to come pick me up, I don't know. But anyway, and then I just found out, I called Southwest yesterday, said, hey, what if I want to fly from Phoenix to Tampa?
Yep, there you go.
Because the show is in Tampa on the 28th.
Okay.
On Sunday.
Yeah.
And I could do it. Guess how much more money?
I don't know.
$15.
There you go.
That's it.
The beauty of Southwest.
Now I have to find out. Now here's the thing. I get
well,
in around
so
2 in the afternoon.
You're not here at all for the East Coast.
Can't come back.
So, and on the West Coast one, you have to like fly in a different location to make it?
Instead of flying to Fort Lauderdale, I'm scheduled to get into Fort Lauderdale at 5:30.
On
that Sunday, the 28th. So I can't make it to Tampa.
So what day is the East Coast semifinals?
On the 14th, Sunday.
Oh, okay.
July 14th.
Oh, okay.
I actually have that day off in my my Northwest tour through Seattle and Oregon. And I actually looked up to see if I could fly back on that 14th. And it would cost me like $1,000 to fly there and back.
Oh, yeah, that's crazy.
I'm like,
I
was actually considering, my wife was giving me that evil eye.
Yeah.
She goes, how much is it? Yeah, it's only $100 to change my flight. There, but the, you know.
And then she said, well, what's the probability of going on to the next round?
Yeah.
And then it was a whole math formula. And she was like, yo, you better change that shit to the West Coast.
You are no Florida's funniest.
I don't know if you're the Florida funniest. You're the funniest in this house.
There you
but
go.
But Florida, I don't know.
Maybe Miami.
Definitely Naples. Southwest Florida, they suck. I'm only kidding, guys, over there.
You would do well. You would probably have an even better go on the West Coast than the East Coast, right?
Yeah.
That's like your people.
A fellow comic who was at the who's at the show at West Palm Beach. Said that he had, you know, he's more familiar with the West Coast comics, but supposedly the ones who advanced over there is not as talent pooled or as talented as the East Coast.
Oh, I wasn't even thinking talent pool wise. I was just matching up like the audience.
Well, they still have Naples.
Like, you get like what?
I think Off the Hook is next Tuesday.
Yeah, on the 9th.
I'm not. Do you know if registration's closed on that?
I think they already picked everybody
going
in.
Yeah, they picked everybody.
Yeah. I know Julie Baez in at Fat Chops.
Sheena Reagan's in that
basically,
one.
Sheena Reagan. Not my friend
last
anymore on Facebook.
Comics.
I don't know why.
I don't know.
Yeah. The last chance for that pool to get in.
Is that the last event?
Yeah, I think Lalo is going to that one. Lalo
Yeah,
there's a lot of people traveling far to get into that Naples one.
Just for that one spot.
Yeah, one chance. Also, you all want to showcase in front of Captain Brian if you're trying to get work.
There you go.
That's why a lot of people should be doing it as well if you're smart. But now, so I think, and thank God it's Southwest. Now, I got to find out. Let me ask you, because I really respect your opinion on this.
Okay, thank you.
Should I go ahead and change that flight now since it's only $15 more, right?
Yeah.
Instead of flying into Fort Lauderdale, I fly to Tampa that day.
Okay.
Earlier.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, okay. And then worst case scenario is I go to Tampa. I'm there. I get a cheap hotel somewhere and fly home the next day on Southwest for $80. So it basically cost me about less than $100
just
for the whole thing.
Just rent a car and drive home. It's freaking Tampa. It's
I know, but
hours.
I got to rent a car, and then how
you
much?
You could rent a car that night and drive home after the show.
You don't think a rental car is going to cost me more than $80 to drive it to a different location?
A one-way rental car for 24 hours?
Yeah.
Unlimited gas? Probably. It can't cost much more than that.
Yeah,
you get
right.
home immediately. Okay, so my point
I would rather be home earlier.
Is you're definitely, no matter what, not able to do the East Coast show. That's
I can't.
A no-go. You absolutely can't. There's no way to do that.
It's just financially impossible to get back.
You want to make the change now. It's cheap. And worst case, if you can't get change onto
that.
The show, just fly it. Either see if it doesn't cost you that much to switch back.
Back.
It might cost you like no money or another $10. Or show up. And, you know, there's always a chance when it's like a lot of people that somebody's not going to make it for one reason or another.
Just go to the show anyway.
Go to the show, see if anyone drops out, see if they can squeeze you in, see whatever happens, happens.
I don't know, we'll see what happens. Anyway, but here's so that's where we're going to go. That's
okay.
The decision
so
process.
So a lot to ponder.
There's a lot to ponder. But here's the important thing, Mike, as a comic, you know, is the importance of putting 4 minutes together. Now, there's some new comics, you're just trying to get first 5 minutes, but it's almost equally as challenging for somebody who has over 45 minutes to an hour of material to squeeze in their whatever 4 minutes they want to do. Like, do you have a 4 minute set?
Man, I'm glad I don't even know if I have a 2 minute set right now.
No.
I've been doing this for 10 years.
Yeah. Jesus, what have you been doing, Mike?
Fuck, bro.
What the fuck have you been doing?
I just go up there and just ramble about things and hopefully something gets funny.
Good plan. How about you, Minda?
Nope, don't got a 4 minute set.
We're not,
jokes,
we're not
like
as cool
if I was
as
to
you,
do
bro.
A 4 minute set, it would literally be me doing like 2.5 jokes or 2 jokes. Like I don't have one liners. I don't have short jokes. They're all a story. And anything that is kind of shorter or one linery is usually an open to another joke that's longer. So I can't really pull all those one-liners together and make a set out of it, or those short comments.
Right.
Yeah,
so,
man.
Yeah, no,
like,
4 minute sets. That's no bueno for me.
Like at least a half hour to get to at least one joke. Just
one good joke.
One
you need
good
all
joke.
30
I need
minutes.
Like 30 minutes. Like,
yeah.
It's rough for me.
Recently, I too like Mike have realized that I don't have 4 minutes. I don't have 14 minutes. I may not even have 24 minutes anymore. I thought I finally got to like 40 minutes of material.
I don't even know why people pay me twice
you
a week.
Good feature.
Right, what's the matter with you guys? Would you turn into douchebags on my show? What the fuck is wrong with you?
No, it's in like my hiatus, maybe this is some unseen circumstance of the marriage. I'm less funny.
Well, all right, so you're saying, because you're in Hawaii.
Mike has seen it. I'm just straight up less
you
funny.
You're saying you've been on stage since you've been back from your beautiful marriage wedding in Hawaii.
Oh, yeah, wait till you hear that story.
All right. So so you're saying not less stage time has caused you to be a little
no,
rusty.
No, I don't think it's less stage time. I just think something has shifted.
Really?
And I am not.
You know
funny
what? You know what it is.
Anymore.
You know what it is. You know what I think it is.
You know
you're gonna have a baby soon.
Oh God.
Yeah.
Oh,
you know
God,
that now that
please.
You're married.
Oh no.
You're gonna
I got
have a kid.
So many, I got. I got
and
like.
And then all of a sudden you know you're gonna
like
have to give
a
up
new
comedy.
5 minutes on how I don't want to have a
all
baby.
All right.
Soon.
Well, I thought you just said you don't have 4 minutes. What the fuck?
Nine
is going on?
Months of sobriety.
Good 4 minutes. Yeah. Well, you've heard all the new jokes.
I
oh man. Talk about being like topical, like with this shit being like therapy.
Well, listen, if you guys would, the idea was that to, the idea, because I think 4 minutes to me is harder than 10, 15, 20. It's very hard because you're trying to condense something, and you like, and you know, Cam Bertrand, who came, you know, we were talking before the show, and we're like, well, what do you do? Because he tells longer jokes. Like, do I half a bit? Do I this? And I'm like, yeah, what do you do? So it's an interesting concept to say, what am I going to do? Am I going to just take a bunch of little jokes and put them together? Or am I going to do a whole bit? Because you can do a bit in 4 minutes. But then are the judges going to go, oh, that guy just told one joke?
Well,
you know what I mean?
Or you better hope that bit works. Like, that people are, like, into it. That's the thing, too.
Putting,
you know,
too much
you
effort
only pick
into
one
it.
Or two, and you're really kind of putting all your eggs in one basket.
Then when I went up in Palm Beach that night, I still hadn't really thought what I wanted to do.
Yeah.
But I had in my mind, I got to tell a few quick funny things, try to get them going, and then crescendo into a nice joke, and that's it.
Yeah.
And that was it.
Yeah, that's how you did it. So, but you had a mental set list before you went up there of the
couple
four
ideas
jokes
what I was
going to
what I was going to open with and cut out, you know. And I could tell you that you know what? Just hit the good jokes. Bump, 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 bump. 4 minutes. Just hit a few good jokes. Don't do all the tags on a lot of them that you know work. Just do a few good jokes that hit good, and then tell them something that they'll remember you.
Yeah.
That's it. And I can I'm not as cool. You're not as cool as me, Mike, as you said earlier. But I'm just saying, after 12, 13 years of doing this, it seems it's finally something I've been trying to figure out over 12 years, how to fucking do a solid 4 minutes.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
I remember the year I got in. I think the only reason why I got in was because there was a 16-year-old in front of me who, she actually got an article. She's very, I mean, I don't know if she still does comedy, but it was still, like, endearing that a 16-year-old girl was trying to do stand-up comedy. And so, like, the Boca New Times wrote this big article that this girl was going to be in Florida's Funniest. I followed her. She had, like, half the room in Fort Lauderdale filled out. And she didn't do that well because she's 16.
And she doesn't
so
really
I
have
up,
an act.
I went up after her and I was like, come on, guys, give it up for so-and-so. You know, it's not easy to be up here and do their thing. And so everyone was on my side.
You got the pander vote? Is that what you're saying?
She was trying to nail the 16-year-old.
And then, bam, like you said, I just did short-form jokes.
Yeah, then you got her number?
Then I got her number, and then I got her.
And then you said, baby, you booked her on my shoulder.
A couple years later, you went to prom with her.
Mm-hmm. Went to prom with her, booked her at Robot.
Yeah. Awesome. Anyway, so the point being, work on your 4 minutes, everybody.
What percentage are comics that are listening? Like, or do you think random, like, at home 4 minutes? Like,
no, they're out there. They're like,
everybody I'm watching on Facebook Live are mostly comics.
Oh, are they?
Yeah. So I am making some sort of due process of my decisions.
Okay, so you're doing like a PSA out there. All right.
Yeah,
I wasn't aware.
I thought I would combine the fact, you know, we talked about the Florida's Funniest and a couple other things. Right. I thought I would, the thing that I got the most out of that was really trying to get, you know, turn something, like figure out something, you know, that you think would be easy, but it isn't.
Yeah.
You know, that philosophy of like, boy, sometimes things that are really easy aren't.
But you're right. You get so much time, things become convoluted, right?
Yeah.
You can't, where do I go?
Yeah,
what do I do?
Let's talk a little bit about your marriage. So you're in the Hawaii, so there's a story, you said there was a story there I got to hear. So you went to Hawaii, got married in Hawaii.
Yeah, in front of a waterfall. Mm-hmm.
Is that who married you, the waterfall?
I wish. It would have been a way hotter wedding, and I don't mean temperature-wise. I mean sexy level. But no, we had an officiant situation.
What is that?
You know, someone who officiates your wedding.
Oh, okay, like a notary or anybody like me.
You know,
I've done
like,
a few.
So I had someone on the ground planning the wedding. I could tell, like, even though she had nice reviews on her website, her husband was a native of the island.
Right.
Indigenous
of Hawaii and indigenous.
At least he looked like it, or from, you know, there's many
like it.
Different people. Well, this is the thing, you know, not
he had an
everyone
Hawaiian
is
shirt on.
Polynesian or Hawaiian. There's, you know, Filipinos there and Tahitians and Japanese.
Asian,
yeah, you know what I'm saying? So there's a lot of different people. But yeah, he looked like a native of some sort, if you will. And I thought, oh, that's cute. And he does.
Nice tan.
Oh, very tan gentleman. Yeah.
He had a surfboard under his arm.
Well, no, but he was going to do this very authentic Hawaiian ceremony. You know, there was a lot of tools, like a flute and whatever. So
he didn't, like, spin fire, did he?
No, I wish. We saw that at a luau the next night.
I saw it at the Maikai the other night, too.
Oh, yeah? How was that?
It's expensive drinks, but go ahead.
Yeah, all right.
My guy.
Yeah, it's overpriced shit, I'll tell you
tourist
that.
Tourist trap. Every time my family moved from New York to Florida, all the people that still lived in New York, every time they came down, they did the Jungle Queen, and they did the fucking Mai Kai. Those are the two local favorites of people visiting from New York.
So I picked this husband-wife team, according to the website. I could tell after I started talking to her, she was kind of dumb. But, you know, 6 weeks out, I said, you know what? I live at a beach. We don't want to get married on the beach. Is there a waterfall I can get married in front of?
Right.
She suggests one. She said, the only thing is there's a little bit of a walk, 10-minute walk to get to the waterfall. You don't just get out of the car and the waterfall's right there, right?
It'd be really convenient if it was.
So I said, look, no matter what, I'm probably going to do the waterfall situation, but I'll go before the wedding, hike it, check it out, make sure I can do, because I'm going to do it in full,
preliminary scouting.
I did.
Some
I did
due diligence.
Yep. So for 6 weeks, that was the plan. We got in, I scouted, I took pictures. This is where I want to do it.
Right.
Oh, this is going to be so beautiful, whatever. And she, I kind of envisioned, because, you know, the way we had a videographer. You know, that we did the first look at the hotel.
Pay attention, Mike. This
no, he's already heard,
I heard
this
the whole
story.
Yeah,
he's heard the whole thing? That's why.
It's a beautiful, beautiful story. Right,
yeah, so, no, it's a pretty good story. I'm going to tell right, so, it. So it's got, a long story.
You got Dumb and Dumber planning your wedding, and then you scouted out the location.
And it was cool, right? And so the idea is we had a videographer first look at the hotel. We go over in the limo. Then in the full wedding garb, we walk down the path. We, you know, and then we walk to the waterfall, right? Since we had scouted it. We knew when you hit the riverbed, you're like a few minutes from the waterfall.
A few minutes.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, walking.
Look, it was a 10-minute walk.
Wow.
And it wasn't like an easy
hike that's nice
on
Hawaii.
A path.
It's kind of a nice Hawaii wedding. You know, I'd be pissed if I was dressed up. Were people dressed in casual garb?
Oh, no. People were dressed in hiking gear and bathing suits on the trail. And like, it definitely like a...
Be really weird, bunch of people walking around fucking suits.
Yeah, well, we picked a place where no one would like be in the background, just the waterfall and whatever. But like I said, the lady suggested it. It was a local place.
You're not going to tell me there was no more water.
No, I wish.
The waterfall dried up.
No.
All of a sudden it just turned off.
That's a bad sign for the wedding.
We were doing our thing.
A couple drops. What happened?
I'm all brided out. Water bill. Full makeup.
Why? He stopped paying the water bill.
Yeah. Oh, no one's paying bills in Hawaii.
Yeah.
Not Kauai, Hawaii, where I was. So fast forward. We've done our walk through the forest.
I'm already tired, but go ahead.
And this is where it really picks up. So we're taking the video and we're walking down toward the riverbed. And I know when I see the river that we're almost to the waterfall. But instead, as we get toward the bottom, I see my officiant in the middle of the river, shirtless, jumping around like a crazy person.
Really?
At which point we hit the edge of the riverbed and he swims up to the edge.
Naked.
Gets out, I wish, because he proceeds to tell us that he cannot do our wedding at the waterfall and that we must do it right here at the riverbed, which looked like I was in fucking Pennsylvania or something. Like, it was not like Hawaii-esque, you know? And I knew because
like
we did the walk.
Looked like you're in a canal near Louisiana.
Exactly. And I knew because we did the walk that we were right near the waterfall. It was like just a few minutes right up the river
so
here.
He didn't want to explain why the waterfall was off limits?
He explained.
Oh, did he?
Yeah. So he's half naked, totally wet in the river, jumping around, and...
Totally wet in the river.
No, he is.
Thanks for the explanation.
Yeah, I guess it... But you got to understand the shock bride and groom who is about to get married and is going through to see this unfolding because...
Right, this is happening. Like, this,
this
in
is
the
happening
motion.
In real
time. This is not a rehearsal.
Yeah,
this,
right. This is the wedding.
He gets out of the river, and he explains to us that since he got to the sacred waterfall that day and he hit the premises of the sacred path, that his ancestors had been screaming at him from beyond.
Oh, really?
That he could not do our wedding at the waterfall because it would be desecrating the land or some shit, and that his sacred blood only goes to this part of the river.
Oh my God.
And does not flow.
And all this because he's a notary from Hawaii.
No, I think he was on some meth.
I'm a notary. I don't get the God speaking to me,
bro. I think he was tweaking on some meth for sure. He was tweaking out
because he figured it out that day.
Yeah,
right.
So
that the blood only stops.
Yeah, that right there
at a certain point.
And that if he performed our wedding at the waterfall, our wedding would be cursed, and he would be cursed.
Oh my
for
God.
Performing it there.
At that point, even if he's fucking loon, you're gonna be like, well, we can't do it now.
Well, everyone's gonna
you
be
would
cursed.
Think you would you would think that's what someone would say. But first, Dan said, "Why does your sacred blood stop here in the river and not go a couple minutes down to the waterfall?"
And by the way, that shit you took in the river is floating down to the fucking sacred waterfall.
Yeah. Way to desecrate the sacred
you just
land.
Desecrated by taking a
that's
fucking...
not blood. That's my urine, asshole.
that's my. Is that a fucking baby Ruth? No, I shit in the sacred river.
So the guy freaks out further and then says, look, if you don't want me to do your wedding here at
right
the
there.
Riverbed, he goes, you can get another officiant. I'll give you a refund and you can come back and do your wedding on another day. Like, what? We don't do it now. Like, I'm just going to come back. So, like, at that point, oddly enough, I had stayed silent because as the bride, I cannot imagine. We were like 3 minutes away from the waterfall. Like, we thought this shit was about to happen.
Yeah,
it was
beautiful. This is your day.
We got vows ready.
Yeah.
And I was like,
Dan should be stepping up there and taking care of all that.
Well, he asked about
the best man. Who's the best man?
There was nobody there.
There's no fucking best man.
No, there's no wedding party. We're there by ourselves. He asked the thing about the sacred blood, and then the guy said we could have a refund. And for whatever reason, I go right to, this is so unprofessional. And then I turn to the lady and I go, who runs a business this way? I was like, "How? This is your husband. You suggested this location.
You started getting.
There's like a thousand. So I went all business on her and he was saying, no, we have to do it here. And I was like, and I'm screaming at this point at him. I was like, I paid to get married in
at
front of
fucking
a motherfucking waterfall. And someone's going to marry me at a motherfucking waterfall right now. And so the lady meekly stepped up and she goes, I am also ordained. I can't do the whole Hawaiian ceremony. And I said, then let's go. If he doesn't want to do it, pick up the shit. We're walking to the waterfall.
Yeah.
No, you're missing the best part. You like looked at all the other people like, do you got a problem with that? Like she looked at the photographer guy. Do you got a problem with us going on with this?
Well, the ukulele guy, he was another fellow native Hawaiian and he kept going to him for support, like the guy would speak up and say yes. So then I turned around and I said, look, I'm not trying to step on people's sacred beliefs. If you don't want to play ukulele at the waterfall for my wedding, no problem.
Have a nice day.
Yeah, just get aloha. We'll get you a don't worry.
Right?
We're all good.
Shit, I'm aloha.
No, he was like, no. I can play at the waterfall. No problem. Yeah. You know, nobody else cared except for this dude tweaking on meth.
I got a big bag of weed I got to pay for.
Yeah, so I'm not sure that we're legally married because, of course, I don't think the lady was really ordained.
This is it. This is what she did. Look, Mike, that's what she's done. You guys just fucking fake this whole thing.
Well, I don't think she faked it. She actually tried to tell me because the husband is the one who signed the certificate.
Where is she ordained? From like the volcano or something?
I don't know. She's from the Church of Volcanic Ash. Told her send me the paperwork. There's no paperwork is what I'm saying.
She was white though, right?
White lady, not a Hawaiian lady, married to a Hawaiian who was definitely on ice, which is their meth.
Yeah.
And he signed the certificate as the performer. So she actually called me back when I got the certificate like 2 weeks ago when I'm like, hey, it says your husband's the performer of the wedding. I got a video. He's not even on the video because he left cursing, you know, at the riverbed. And she goes, oh, me and David, we spoke about it. And we feel like he did the first part of the ceremony where he recommended that you don't do it by the waterfall. Huh. And then I did the second part. I finished the ceremony. And I was like, so you're saying... Wow. My beautiful ceremony by a waterfall with amazing vows. You're saying that was part of that was all the same? And then, of course, she's
trying
to attach no. Yeah, she's trying to tell me that that's how that should. So, no, I don't think we're really married.
You know, they're trying to attach the curse, Dougie.
Nevertheless, it was actually a beautiful wedding.
Well,
it just
if anything,
wasn't like as emotional as it would have been because of that weird.
That's a lot of shit. Listen, not, I mean, shit to deal with. Listen, if anything, Dan has got a fucking out. if this wedding doesn't go, if this marriage, you can always go back to that fucking, he can always go, look, we're legally not married.
Well, no, that's what I told her. I go, you know, on the video, it shows you, not your husband, doing my ceremony. And I go, you know, we're going to, like, buy a house and stuff. We're going to, you know, obviously
if
one
I were
day,
you, I would go to the judge of the courthouse and just get it done.
Get it done again?
Yeah.
Which I don't know how
and
that's
going
to go.
Don't do it next to a waterfall. If you go to Delray Courthouse,
no.
There's a fountain outside.
It'll take 2 seconds.
We're not going to do like
you know what? I got something that my wife waters the plants with. Mm-hmm. I can like hold it over you guys.
It's cool. We're not going to redo a ceremony. Wow. We would just sign a piece of paper.
Well, my aunt, you know my aunt, she's a notary. I mean, she can get it all done. We can
go. See, there you go.
Back in her backyard.
We don't have to do anything. We already did the
thing. Well, I don't know. I think Dan's got an out.
If you want to lock secure.
Dan would never want to get out of this.
Yeah, okay. I'm just, listen, I like to cover all grounds. That marriage is shaky off the fucking, the guy who's shit in the river, who's like hearing voices, sign something that's your legal document, and he wasn't even there.
No, he fucking, left.
Yeah, he's gone.
He left.
Listen, Dan, so, I love Dan, but he knows as well as I do his best days have been because of Minda. Before then, he was in turmoil, okay? I knew the kid. He was in turmoil.
He was a little wrinkly, but that's it. You know,
he was a little wrinkly.
He just didn't have someone to properly do his clothes for. Yeah.
Not a little wrinkly.
That's awesome. Hey, by the way, it's that time of day, everybody.
Already?
Yep.
Wow.
And now, for your dining and dancing pleasure, some international and domestic news you may or may not believe. It's Straight from the Headlines with Dougie Almeida.
Thanks, Peter. It's time for Straight from the Headlines, where we talk about things from here and around the world and make fun of them. And you got to guess if they're real or not. This story is real, we know. Nike pulls its Betsy Ross flag shoes.
Why?
After Colin Kaepernick, whose rename is Colin Got Nothing Else to Fucking Do, objects to the design.
Oh, he can veto Nike shoe designs now?
I guess so.
Is that where we're at?
I guess so. He doesn't. If you look at the shoes, they're very nice shoes. They're a celebration of the 4th of July, and they're called the Betsy Ross shoes because on the back part of the heel, you know, on the back part where you pull the tab, I guess, by the Achilles,
okay.
There's the original American flag, the Betsy Ross flag with the round 13 stars.
Okay.
And he didn't like it because he doesn't like America. Yeah, he doesn't. He thinks it's a racist connotation. The first flag of the United States is a racist connotation.
Why? Because we were under slavery?
I guess so. That's all association. That's the philosophy here, is that because at that time that was going on, it clearly says that flag represents, it doesn't represent the beginning of a country.
Yeah.
It has nothing to do with that. But to Nike and to Colin Kaepernick, it has to do with racism.
Interesting.
What about the Florida flag? How do you feel about that?
The Florida flag with the Indian woman, the Seminole Indian lady carrying maize and shit, isn't that what's on there?
No, I'm talking, well, I mean, what I see is a big red X behind a white background.
Yeah, so like it, and then you
very KKK to me, you know? Yeah. Like,
well, England's like that. If you look at Scotland, Ireland and England, they have it has X's on there, but they would never be considered KKK.
Because they didn't have, like,
just because of a symbol.
No, slavery that long. It does raise, like, so many questions. Like, why did Colin Kaepernick even go into football? He sucked at it. Why didn't he just go into politics? Like,
well,
like,
because
use
he doesn't
that
know anything about
scholarship,
politics.
Right? Get a political science degree and go make some real change.
Yeah.
Like, I think everyone's just trying to change things on Twitter. That's how lazy we are. Nobody actually wants to go like hit the ground and do it. They just want to tweet out change.
It's like
that's
the 16-year-old went up before Mike
we're
and Florida's
change.
Funny.
Yeah.
I got a few funny jokes. I'm going to tell them on stage.
Well,
Nike had developed a shoe officially dubbed the Air Max 1 Quick Strike 4th of July and stitched an American flag.
Hannah Patoza.
Circa 1770s on each heel. It says here, according to Nike spokesman, Nike has chosen not to release the Air Max 1 Quick Strike 4th of July as it's featured to because of the American flag.
So if it put a regular American flag on there, then it would have been okay?
Well, I guess that kind of defeats the purpose. Like, you understand, it's simple, like 4th of July.
Yeah.
You know, independence, breaking independence from a tyranny of you know, for people and try to making, you know, develop, let's have a country
where the government
isn't going to tax us and tell us what to do. Well, you know, where eventually if you pretty much in this country, you could do whatever the fuck you want to do. You could be whoever the fuck you want to be. You could be anything you want to be. You could, you know, whatever.
Yeah. I still feel like the regular American flag embodies all of that. It's still related, right? To 4th of July and being whoever you got to be. I mean, I think they should have put like one on each side, like one side of the tab should have been the first flag. And then,
since you couldn't do anything like historical. That, what you're saying is you cannot ever represent anything from our history because somebody's going to associate it to slavery.
Yeah.
Because slavery associates to a beginning part of the beginning of our nation.
Let's wipe out history. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I don't want to learn from it. I don't want to learn about it.
This is how socialism is going to try to take breed in here. It's like by rid ourselves of religious belief, religious of any type of traditions, to now put the groundwork for all kinds of other stupid shit.
Oh my God, we're going to be like the Romans again.
Yeah, this is the Roman times, man.
That's what happens. We slip back into that.
Here's the next story. South African illusionist suffers head wound during a magic show mishap. I love when this shit happens.
So the David Blaine of South Africa is what you're saying? Is he dead?
An illusionist in South Africa suffered a head wound.
Head wound.
when a magic show stunt involving a crossbow went terribly wrong.
Oh.
Report says Li Lau was performing an escape when he was shot Sunday. Lau?
I feel like that was the guy who married Minda.
No, it was Le Aloha, which I found out was the equivalent to a Hawaiian stage name.
I would say so.
Yeah.
Li Lau was performing an escape when he was shot Sunday in Makanda. He left the hospital after doctors stitched up his head. Just a little minor incident this afternoon, but I'm well, Lau said.
Okay. All right, so he's going to make his illusionist comeback soon.
It didn't penetrate the skull because in those magic tricks, we know those aren't really crossbows.
Yeah.
Like on America's Got Talent, they had that mishap where the guy was supposed to get shot through his neck or something, his mouth, and then she ended up shot him with a real crossbow. With the minute they shoot it, the tip and everything just disintegrate, and it's right. Like a basically stick.
Yeah.
It's a fucking magic trick. Well, when I remember watching that, people were like, oh my God, you could have been killed. And I'm like, no, he couldn't have. He got hit with a fucking Nerf stick.
That's true. I saw Dean roasting America's Got Talent. Yeah. Some kid went up there
and did
Andy Kaufman's wrestler thing, Mighty Mouse.
I watched it. Did you see the America's Got Talent episode?
I did, and I took Dean's word for it.
Listen, I'm surprised I didn't bring this up. This is incredible. Did you see the America's Got Talent? The guy's called an open. He goes, the bit was basically a karaoke guy. So he goes up and he plays.
Oh, yeah.
And he goes up there and plays the music and only chimes in when it says tequila.
Right, which we've seen other videos.
Well, we've seen the classic Andy Kaufman bit where he does it.
Come to save the day. Right,
and then, it's the same when you watch it, the staging of it, everything's the same. It's a hack.
Right.
And you know what? America's Got Talent. You know, some of the comics on there and stuff. Come on, this is not for comedy. This is, I know. Listen, I tried to audition for that thing. You know what they said? We want alternative comics. I go, people aren't funny.
Oh, okay. So, all right, check. That's not a good contest. So, America's Got Talent is out.
Yeah, I'm just saying where they've gone.
There's some funny comics on America's Got
Talent.
Yeah, there's
been, of course.
Look,
a Preacher made it big on it. I'm saying, but listen. I'm just saying, it's like the parameters they make comics go through.
Well, yeah, but that's to get on TV in general.
Yeah,
I
know.
So
the producers write your act.
Once
you get on there, once you're on, you advance. Basically, the producers write your act.
That's so ridiculous.
Yeah,
I would hate that.
So anyway.
Speaking of Dean, he crushed it at Robot Boy.
Yeah, he did.
I
hosted the second show. He hosted the first show.
You know how it is. You know, that first show, you got your hour, you do your thing, and then that second show, you're like, oh my God, what do I do? Do I just do crowd work? You know, he just basically did a whole other hour of crowd work,
right?
Like over an hour of crowd work, and slaughtered. Like, just picked on all the comics.
Perfect.
It was amazing. It was one of the most amazing shows.
He's a funny dude, man. Well, that's awesome. But he called him out, and he what's going to happen now? And I always thought when I first saw the act, I go, what's he going to do next? Another song with the same idea? How is he going to come back and do something big? So I'm wondering if this kid will be still on the show if they call him out as a hack. And someone else pointed out one of those posts, like even a guy like how can Howie Mandel, who's a comic, not recognize that? And I'll be honest with you, I didn't recognize it. It hit me when I saw Dean's post. Like, you're right.
Twitter didn't roast him. Like, usually Twitter is on top of stuff like that when nobody else on the show is.
Somebody
catches it. I've been to a karaoke night where someone did that exact. It wasn't even that dude, and this is like months ago. This had to be like the beginning of this year.
Right.
Someone went to a karaoke thing that I went one night with a girl and played tequila and did exactly what that guy did, like with tequila, and just stood there while the whole thing was going on.
How long ago?
This was like beginning of 2019, end of 2018.
Cause, yeah, because the show was just on a couple weeks ago.
That's what I'm saying. Like, so this is that's something that's been done already.
You probably saw it on the internet
with that song.
He probably doesn't even realize the lineage of that. He probably saw it.
I would see that. Like,
internet,
he didn't purposely steal it. He
stole it from the internet. Yeah. The regular tequila thing, not realizing the tequila thing was a ripoff because
even,
he doesn't know who Andy Kaufman is.
Exactly.
And Mighty Mouse. He has no idea.
Good point.
I'm sure his dumb parents don't know. I mean, they're letting their kid do hack shit off the internet and going, oh, he's so funny. He's so original.
Oh, my God. Isn't he so funny? He's
that was
genius.
Amazing. That was so amazing. The whole fucking, all those, and they got the two new judges on there. They got that dancer chick and Dwayne Wade's wife.
Yeah,
on there, and they're like, "Oh my God!
Oh, you're brilliant!
That was the most amazing thing I've ever seen."
Listen,
really,
there was a comic.
How did your mind even go there? Oh, from watching fucking 20 hours of YouTube a day. That's how my mind got there.
There was a comic last night that was from L.A., and he's deaf, and he was like, "I want to get a parking lot. I want to get the handicap parking spot, but I can't." And I found out that this other guy got it because he has AIDS. And I was like, well, I have AIDS. And he pulled out his hearing aids, and we're all like, wah, wah. And then his mom is in the back going, isn't he so funny? Oh, my God, he's so funny.
It's hilarious. You're special. That's what you are, special. I knew it from the moment you were born.
Oh, my
you
God.
You even looked funny. You know, that's, oh, God.
My son, he's
just
so
filling
funny.
Kids'
well, that's
heads.
What that whole thing is now. Most of these contests now, everybody's got a heartbreak story. You know, oh, I'm only here because, you know, fuck enough.
Yeah,
enough
my heartbreak story is I just don't enter any of the contests.
Here's the next story. Body of Kenyan stowaway. This is a heartbreak.
Not good enough, Mike.
Hey, listen, this is a heartbreak story.
Okay.
Body of Kenyan stowaway found in London Yard.
Yeah, like fell out of the plane. Oh, yeah. Wait, I shouldn't be that happy about it. It's very sad, obviously.
You heard of the story?
No, I saw it on my, news feed.
Authorities in London are investigating after a body believed to be that of a Kenyan stowaway. Was found in the, you know, they say it, oh, believe that's as if it happens many times. Oh, just another one.
It probably is. It's probably like humans on boats that they find like dead in rafts. It always happens every month, you know.
It was found in the backyard of a home over the weekend, likely falling from landing gear of the plane passing over.
Man, you got to get out of a country real bad to get inside the landing gear hatch.
It gets cold as fuck up there.
But
there's people that freeze to death in there. They don't realize it, right? There's stories that they get up there and they get up in the fucking time of year. It's like 50 below zero up there in the air.
Mm-hmm. No, no.
The police have yet to identify the man, but said he was likely a Kenyan stowaway who had hidden inside the landing gear of Kenya Airways flight. Well, I guess that's why they think he's Kenyan. A flight to land in Heathrow.
Or like based on what he looked like.
What do you mean? He probably didn't look like me, Minda?
Yeah, no, that? I mean, come on. I think the Kenyan people have a very distinct, they're super
well,
tall
it does,
and
it does
skinny
say, it
and
does,
have long necks.
It does say here that they thought he was from Kenya because he had a marathon outfit on. He had a Boston Marathon.
He had his
fucking
Nike shoes with him? Yeah.
He was in a track outfit.
His Colin Kaepernickers.
Yeah, he had a pair of Betsy Rosses. Kenya Airport's used. Yeah, we know. This is a fucking horrible story.
Oh, man.
You know, I mean, you're right. To get that, I mean, God, it's Kenya. You know what I mean?
Maybe, I don't know. Eaten by a lion or
do you think
stowaway?
Do you think people who get married in Kenya have a really bad story like yours? Yeah. Like
nobody has a story like mine, Mike. Just remember that.
You can't get married here. Someone got eaten by
a lion.
Oh,
the video guy won't give me the clip either.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Oh, wow. God.
And I asked for all the raw. I brought a hard drive for it. He supposedly put all it on the hard drive. You see us coming down the bank? And you see the guy's head in the corner of the frame bobbing in the water as he comes to the edge. Then clip 204 is gone.
Huh.
And then clip 205 is us walking away with all the stuff to where
they don't want any evidence of that wedding if they weren't going to do it.
Well,
you know,
there's going to be fucking evidence. That's going to be there's Breakup Revenge. That's the first movie. The second movie's Wedding Revenge. Watch how much money I fucking make off of this. I told him. I said, "Yo, you put that clip up there and make it viral. I'll sue you." I said, "You do not have our permission to use that clip because we're comedians." He knew this. He rode back in the limo with us, and we told him how apropos this was. We were so excited that we had such a cool wedding story, and that as comics, we want nothing more than all the video. I told him to put it, like, he did like a wedding video, like a 2-minute video. I was like, put it on the video. Yeah.
When you said as comics, you wanted the whole video, he goes,
yeah, I'm gonna fuck with that comic. Well, this
you
should have
not said
funny.
Anything.
Yeah.
You should have just been like, you know, we just really want the whole thing. You know, it's just something that we like to document. Second you said we're comics,
he
he's
knew
like,
that from before, though. He rode in the limo on the way there with us. Things came up.
You're not going to make fun of us.
All right, enough of the wedding story.
Shut up. I'm still very traumatized.
Yeah, I can tell. Here's a story. New York City man crushed by safe in a Manhattan stairwell. That's why I don't...
It's like a cartoon.
He was actually walking under a guy with a weak pulley system and a rope that looked like it was from the 70s.
And then the safe opened and he like comes out with stars on his head. Like, whoa!
And a big lump grows out of his head. And the safe falls off and then lands on his nuts.
And then like a roadrunner runs by.
Yeah. A man crushed and killed by a giant safe on Sunday while attempting to move the 600-pound piece of equipment in Lower Manhattan. The unidentified man, who now we call Pancake, and two friends were trying to get the large safe down a flight of stairs when they lost control, according to the law enforcement source. That's bad when you're carrying a big old fucking safe. Like, I've been in moving situations. We had a couch. We're trying to get it downstairs for somebody years ago, and all of a sudden, you know, you hear that one guy going, hold it, wait,
it's slipping.
And you're like, uh-oh. And then, of course, I'm sitting there at the bottom, to the side, and the other guy's to the side, and we just said, bail, and it was his couch.
Yeah.
He's the one who lost grip first. He fuck it. That's it. We all bailed that couch. Oh, basically, the things on the bottom, the feet broke.
Broke off.
Yeah, you know, broke off and shit. It was a really shitty couch. You know, sometimes you got to help move this shit, and you're like, dude, you really want to move this fucking thing? It's a piece of shit. Why don't you, go get a new one?
It's a lucky couch, though.
Yeah.
I just, the guy's probably like, why didn't I just take the building with the elevator?
Yeah. That's what I'm saying.
I
like,
should have paid $200 more and got the building with the elevator.
Or just imagine him being 5 minutes later or 5 minutes earlier. He would have been fine, you know?
Yeah, or if someone would have said, hey, don't come up the stairs while we take a safe down. Like,
the safe was, which weighs between 600 and 800 pounds. That's about the same exactness when people ask me my weight. Slid down the stairs and pinned the man against the wall of the stairwell.
See, it would have bounced right off of someone like you, but man, that...
yeah.
He said same way.
It came right back, like, bing!
Fucking moved it right back to the room. It was heavy, too heavy, said a woman at the building of Sunday evening. Man was moving it from the fourth floor, and it came down on him. Yeah.
Man, how, like, if I was the wife, I'd be so mad. You killed my husband with the safe. Who's going to move all my shit down?
It depends. I mean, maybe she's happy. She's, like, getting all that life insurance money now.
Well, yeah.
She don't got to deal with his ass, like, every night. Like, come on, baby. Can I just get a blowjob? She's like, not again, Rupert.
Not again. At least he got one. What the fuck?
Right.
That's a good wife. Here's a story. Mets flub Miracle Mets celebration. Declaring two players dead when they were still alive. Mm-hmm. We wish so-and-so and so-and-so who could be here. I'm in here, right here.
We're in the front row.
But they went many years ago. We're right here. During a pregame ceremony Saturday, marking the 50th anniversary of the 1969 Miracle Mets, two members of that celebrated team were listed as dead in a We Remembered montage. Even though they're still very much alive.
Didn't that happen to Leon Arp?
Yeah, we gave Leon a going away party, and he was still here.
Yeah, I got so confused that week. I thought he was dead. I saw all these roasts. I was like, oh, God, Leon died. I didn't know. They're like, no, he's going to be there. And I was like, oh, that's weird. They're like, no, he's alive.
I haven't seen Leon Arp in a while.
He posts every so often, he's there. Leon, if you can hear us, we miss you.
Yeah, we miss you, buddy. The montage scene by the sellout crowd was meant to honor 1969 Mets who passed away, including Gil Hodges, Tug McGraw. However, it also included outfielder Jim Gosger and pitcher Jesse Hudson.
We're over here.
By mistake, according to the reports, The Mets official phoned Gosgar after Saturday's game and Mets loss and the seven in a row to apologize for the screw-up. Source said Gosgar took the flub in stride. Of course he would. He's fucking almost dead anyway. The Mets were hoping to contact Hudson to apologize as well.
But he died.
But he didn't make it.
Upon news of his fake death, yeah.
When he found out he was supposedly dead, he had a heart attack.
He died and went ahead and did it. He was always known for, you know, committing to the fans.
Yeah. He was a people of the man of the people.
People pleaser?
People pleaser. Man of the people. He was a fan favorite. Pennsylvania man allegedly built bomb to warn about aliens who planned to destroy the planet.
Now, that's a story I can get behind.
I thought you would.
Yeah, that is a Cintron story.
A man allegedly placed a homemade bomb behind a Pennsylvania hotel on Sunday and claimed it was a warning that aliens will destroy the planet if humans didn't start being good people, or perhaps he just smoked too much crack that day.
Probably, but still, he has a point.
David Augsenreinder, 29, was taken into custody by the state troopers after they responded to the scene at a Bainey house in Myerstown, a city roughly 25 miles north of Lancaster.
He sounds a little like my wedding officiant.
Yeah.
Aliens will come.
They're coming, the aliens.
I spoke to aliens underwater while I was shitting in the river. Augsenreinder allegedly told the hotel manager that he made an explosive device and it was keeping in his room. The manager told him to remove it from the building, and Augsenreinder allegedly placed it next to the dumpster, you know, where it's safe. A state police bomb squad disabled the package and no one was injured.
What if he's right, though?
You never know. You know, I mean, it's going to be one of these fucking loony loons that everyone's going to believe.
Right.
And then,
like, I'm
sure,
you know, when Jesus came around, like, I'm the son of God, people were like, what a quack, you know, but he, you know, but people are like, he's the son of God.
But right. How impressive do you think his bomb would be to the aliens? Like, I think they'd
be
like, and they'd be like, look at that shitty bomb. Like, what? We don't even need to be here yet.
Yeah. Turn it off.
It's a ladyfinger, for God's sake.
Yeah. Right.
They'd, like, send some kind of ray, and they just disarm it.
Well, yeah, Cintron does. I have a whole theory now that aliens don't invade us because when they come and check in on us, we're, like, so far behind in the solar system
right. That,
like, Earth is the North Korea of the solar system. Like, you know, they're like, look, they don't have anything going on. They haven't figured out fuel or natural resources right. Or
you know,
unisex clothing.
That's like, the ant farm principle, right? We're just an ant farm to them.
Well, yeah, we're nothing. Yeah. We pose no bother like that guy.
Think about it. We are the fuel we use, like she said, we get it off dead plants. We can't even, we're barely trying to figure out how to get fuel from the sun. You know,
by the way, Florida Power and Light will do help you for free if you have a home.
Mm-hmm.
And it's really cool when you pass those. Ever pass those solar farms? Like, especially out in Vegas, when you take a
uh-huh.
ride from Vegas to Laughlin.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's amazing. It's acres of the fucking. You know, can you imagine flying a plane and getting the wrong angle? Uh-huh. Like an ant. I'm blind. I can't see. Back to the story. 29-year-old, according to criminal complaint, says he tells people about the aliens, but people tell him he's crazy.
Yeah. You know, those kind of people are never afraid to tell you about they're crazy either. They just want to tell everyone. No matter how many people tell them that it doesn't sound right.
Right.
They love to chat.
Hmm.
Chatty.
Now, this is a bit of a dirty story. Massachusetts residents see tornado of poop. After sewer line blockage, ugh, you thought you had were having a bad day.
Have you been into a restaurant or a restroom where you think a tornado of poop just went through there?
Yeah, big old, yeah. Ooh.
Like, how did they get it on the wall?
Well, you know, people have made that. I've known that's right.
That doesn't happen that much in
the men's bathroom.
You know when that happens, people said they talked about it at the Stern Show once because somebody shit like onto the wall behind the.
But I've seen stuff like that.
But
like,
you see that
they don't want to sit on the toilet.
Well, no, what happens because the closest calls I ever had, especially on the road, you're trying to find a place to shit, and all of a sudden you're holding it, and and you're trying to keep it, you know, keep my cheeks together, the old Cheech and Chong, cheeks stay together. And then the minute you pull your pants down and go to squat, everything just kind of shoots out backwards like a cannon. Anyway.
But then it ends up in the back of your head, like, you know.
Well, it hits the tile and it bounces off. I mean.
Jesus, it's like the magic bullet that killed JFK.
Yeah. A tornado of poop hit residents in Massachusetts last week.
Jesus.
After an underground blockage caused raw sewage to widely expel from toilets.
I think I'd rather be in a regular tornado.
Yeah.
And right. Just take my chances. Right.
Guy says, I was getting ready for work when I heard a bubble.
A bubble?
Oh.
One resident, Silvana Ortiz, told the news, it was a crazy scene. It literally just spun and flew out of the toilet.
Oh my God. And all their individual homes, it tornadoed out.
Oh, can you imagine being, oh, look at some of these pictures of shit, like 2 inches of shit in this guy's bathroom.
No,
oh,
Jesus. I don't see that.
Oh, it is. Oh.
I'm a girl. I'm good.
The woman captured the moment of a tornado poop started forming and started spewing out on video. You could check this out on video online. It shows dark, murky liquid bursting from the toilet bowl at her home on Brazil Street. She said, an unsanitary experience, you think? Destroyed everything.
How do you get that out of the house?
You don't. You burn the house and call fucking insurance.
That's exactly what I'm talking about. And then how do you sell a house?
Like, move.
Yeah.
No, yeah, you think that. And then the potential buyer comes and says, like, oh, isn't your house on shit row? The tornado? The shit tornado?
I don't know what you're talking about.
The house that Amityville Horror is about would get sold faster than these fucking places.
I had all my lids shut that day.
I want to buy a haunted house because I think that's all, like, you just, like, it's all in people's heads, you know?
Yeah.
You think that's real?
Well, you believe in aliens, but you don't believe in, like, poltergeists and shit?
I don't know, you know what I mean? I kind of do believe in aliens over poltergeists.
Really?
I don't know why.
That's really interesting, because the expansion of the universe towards the expansion of dimension usually is a similar concept.
I don't know why. I can't even
argue
that point right now.
You have a preference. You believe in aliens.
I just don't think, like,
demons. You just want aliens so that you could be taller than them. Because you're taller than most greys.
But also, I just don't want to be alone, you know?
Yeah, well, like, we're not alone.
I feel like
Minda's
I hook up
here.
with a female alien.
Yeah?
Easier.
Yeah. You know what's nice about the female aliens? They don't have any body hair.
That, yes.
You have to worry about, you know, the days they wax.
They probably don't get pregnant.
Well, they probably do, but you got to stick it in their ear.
Yeah,
it's probably different. It's like, you couldn't just kick an alien in the balls. I can't remember what movie that was. Some guy went to fight and went to kick the alien in the balls, and the alien's balls aren't there. They're like on the side by his ribs.
Independence Day?
Yeah.
No, I don't know.
I think you're right. I think that was.
Was that Will Smith?
May have been.
Yeah, he sounds like someone who
the
could kick a ball,
alien balls.
The only
kind of ghost I like is from Ghostbusters 2 or Ghostbusters 1 when...
Slimer?
No, when the chick bangs Egon or something like that. Like, he's in the night, he's sleeping. You don't remember
that
part?
The woman's floating over his bed?
Right, and then she, like, opens his drawers, and I think she gives him a blowjob or something.
Look,
what?
His face would make you think that.
Right, because he goes,
oh, all of a sudden he does that, like, I can't believe she's doing it.
Right.
Yeah.
Blowjob ghost.
See, when it comes to things like that, Mike and I are right on. Like, we think about, you know, getting
blowjobs.
So you
want a blowjob ghost to haunt you?
Yeah, she's like, listen, she is still... She's alone.
Like, every single night, he'd have the Ouija board out doing fucking seances. Like, oh, where are you?
Where
like,
are you, blowjob ghost?
Beetlejuice.
Blowjob ghost. Blowjob ghost. Blowjob ghost.
What was that other
check
one?
Check my prostate.
What was that other one? We used to, like, I believe in blood, or the one where you put a light.
Bloody Mary?
I forgot. That's somebody might remember. But you basically take a fucking lighter. And you go up in front of the mirror at the dark.
Yes.
And you say, I believe in...
No, it's what's
something
her name?
Mary.
No, Bloody Mary.
Is it Bloody Mary?
You say Bloody Mary three times.
Yeah, I believe
like
in Bloody Mary.
Spin around or something.
And then you see an image pop up in the fucking mirror.
Ooh,
from the,
I've never did. I'm too scared to do things like that. I would never.
So, Mike, that's a funny joke premise
I've tried Bloody Mary. She doesn't come and see me.
No, you should do that. I want to be haunted by ghosts and get blowjobs.
Blowjob Mary. Blowjob Mary. Blowjob Mary.
Blowjob Mary. I believe in Blowjob Mary.
Fuck Bloody Mary. I want Blowjob Mary.
So instead of spinning around, you whip your dick out.
You stroke it three times.
And you say Blowjob Mary.
You never see Mike anymore at the fucking robot. Where's Mike? I don't know. He's home sleeping.
Yeah, Blowjob Mary.
Find me in the bathroom just drained.
Mm. Our last story of the day is a Florida man story.
6 months out, you got the Ouija board out. Do you like me for me or just for the sex?
Yeah.
Say yes or no. Blowjob
like
Mary.
And
I love you.
Pretty soon, the fucking blowjob ghost is telling you to take the garbage out.
I'm all pale.
Hey, I'll blow you, but you got to take the garbage
out
first.
It's disgusting in here.
Yeah, clean the fucking furniture.
You can't haunt a place like this.
There's more ghosts in here, but they're dust mites. Our last story of the day is a Florida man story. Florida man arrested after pelting girlfriend with McDonald's sweet and sour packets.
Okay.
People like to throw food at people fucking around here.
Okay. I'm sure she deserved it.
A Florida man pelted his girlfriend
sounds like it, right?
in the head and face area with sweet and sour sauce packets.
I don't like sweet and sour sauce. I told you to get the sriracha. I don't. Where's my ranch? What is this? I can't eat this.
Because he was angry she had brought the wrong food from McDonald's.
I knew the order was wrong. Of course, that it just incites
called
me.
Called it out.
Ugh.
Jesus Oscar Ferrer, Jr., 30, attacked his girlfriend with whom he has a child, which oddly enough they call Big Mac, in the couple's motel room in Tampa, police say.
Where they lived.
A struggle ensued and Furr allegedly pinned his girlfriend to the ground. He placed his palm on her face and pressed her head into the ground using his body weight, which prompted the woman to rip off part of his beard.
Oh, my God.
By the time the officers arrived, Furr had fled the motel. According to the complaint, he was arrested and booked into the Pasco County Jail, where somebody's banging him as we speak. Furr was charged with battery earlier this year.
He's called sweet and sour right now.
they call him sweet and sour sauce in the cell.
So. He pinned her down and yelled, you know, I like the 20-piece, not the six. I can't even, not even full with the 6-piece. Who eats this?
You know,
a child's portion.
I have not eaten a Burger King in many, many years.
Okay.
And I was
on that Arby's grind still,
but,
right?
No, but I was on the road and I, you know, I was hungry. I had to get something. Ugh. And I was about to get on the highway and I didn't want to stop. It was one of those long drive, and I said, you know what, fuck it, there's a Burger King, I'm just gonna get a, I haven't eaten a, you know, I'm gonna get a burger or something.
It's not good.
I'm gonna get a Whopper, and it was delicious.
Ugh.
Yeah,
it was delicious. So just
that.
Saying it's much better.
Like,
than
you like Arby's?
Well,
I love Arby's, man.
Oh my God.
I love the beef and cheddar.
You never heard of that joke, like, I'm so hungry I can eat at Arby's?
Yeah, I heard of it, but that person, you know. Have you ever eaten an Arby's chicken Gordon Blue sandwich?
You know what? To be fair, I have not eaten an Arby's for over 10 years.
Yeah, because you follow that stupid fucking meme joke.
Well, I had one bad Arby's.
You had one bad Arby's? You ought to go and try a fucking Arby's beef and cheddar.
Oh, my God. Arby's is his Southwest. Just to let you know, Arby's is his Southwest.
I just, you know.
Like, the roast beef was, like green.
It is purpley green.
Listen, it's not the color. It's the taste. That's all that matters. That's why you got to get the fucking beef and cheddar, because it's got sauce and cheese. It kind of hides all that shit.
That's going to be their tagline.
Yeah.
Like, you know, Arby's. It's not the color. It's the taste.
Yeah. We have the meats that are covered by
that's
cheese.
That's why the guy has to come out for sandwiches, okay?
Yeah. Anyway, that's all we have time for here on the Wake Up Late with Dougie show.
Oh, no.
Absolutely. I want to thank, of course, Minda Long.
So
Minda Long. Well, I want to say Minda here.
Just
the new married,
Minda, yeah.
New married woman.
Nobody remembers my first name. Let's not make it harder.
Minda. Yeah, it's not hard enough, right? We got to try to tell people to just remember
that.
They
don't care. Yeah, Minda.
Of course. And Mike Cintron.
That's right. This guy. I'm still working on my 4 minutes, though, people.
There you go.
So
be
one
sure.
day.
By the way, you guys, what's coming up for you, Mrs. Minda?
Nothing.
Nothing? Mike?
No. 26 Degree Brewing, July 17th or something.
Over in Pompano Beach?
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm going to be on a show with you
right.
coming up.
Uh-oh.
Isn't that this Sunday?
This
Sunday? Saturday?
Oh, we're doing the Artful Dodger.
The Fartful Dodger?
The Artful Dodger in Boca Raton.
And then July 13th, I'm going to be at Robot Brewing. We're going to have Trey Maddox.
Yep.
And then, even more special, at the end of the month, I think it's July 27th, Kyle Grooms will be at Robot.
Oh, funny dude, man.
So we got a great month of comedy coming up.
By the way, like you said, that's where I'll be on Saturday at the Artful Dodger. On tonight, though, if you're in Miami, come on down to the Bloom Sky Bar.
Okay.
I'm doing a show at the top of the bar. It's on the roof. Hopefully it's not raining. It's around 8 o'clock, so it's a free show if you're out there. It's the Bloom Sky Bar. And, guys, next week, we won't have this will be our last show, unless we can do one Monday next week. I'm going to be in my Northwest tour. I'm going to be over
Ooh,
there in Seattle and Oregon.
Fancy.
Gonna be go to DougieAlmeida.com. I'm going to be at the Lime on July 9th in Seattle at the club. Going to be at the Mills Casino over in Coos Bay, Oregon. Then I'm going to be at Chadwick's in Medford, Oregon. Then I'm going to be over, I'm headlining Joker's Comedy Club in Washington State. Go to DougieAlmeida.com for all that shit. Follow me on Twitter and Instagram at Dougie Dangerous. Follow our show on Twitter at Wake Up Dougie and on Instagram at Wake Up Dougie Show. Wake Up Dougie Show. And that's it. Go to our Podbean site. Donate to the patron page. We got a new donor, actually Joseph Ney,
yeah.
who runs the show, is donating now.
Oh
so,
my gosh.
You guys
thank
want
you,
$1 a month, $5 a month, whatever you guys want. We appreciate it. Anyway, guys, thanks for joining us, and be well, and we'll see you here next time, right here at the show.
People on Earth, can you hear me? Came a voice from the sky on a magical night. And in the colors of a thousand sunsets, they travel to the world on a silvery light. The people of the earth stood waiting. team. Watching as the ships came one by one. Setting fire to the sky as they landed. Carrying to the world, children of the sun. Children of the sun.